Chalmers, Rio 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Chalmers?
I was born in Edinburgh on the 2nd of March, 1932.
And could you give us a little bit about your family background and origins?
Yes. My father was a civil servant in the Inland Revenue. My mother's family came from Aberdeenshire. My father's family was from Glasgow originally. And I had one elder sister. Otherwise, we were just two in the family. And I we had my mother's family mainly gone to Canada, but we still had links in Aberdeenshire. And we, I went to school in Edinburgh.
Now, which school was that?
George Watson's.
And could you tell us a bit about your education?
Yes, I was, I think, slightly precocious at school. In fact, I was at school in 1938 and left at 16, which was rather young, but there wasn't much point in staying.
What subjects did you particularly enjoy at school?
Languages. In fact, classics was my Latin and Greek were my main subjects. And so it seemed natural to go on from there to two classics at the university. And I was lucky enough to get a quite reasonable bursary in the bursary competition. And so I went to Edinburgh University in October 1930.
I'll come back to that. Now, what about other interests? I mean, were you interested in sport and things like that at all?
I played hockey at school. I had been rather young in my class and so had rather missed out on the beginning of rugby and so on, but caught up by playing hockey and played golf and tennis. And I think it was a reasonable part of all
What about other hobbies outside of school? Were you in any of the boys' organisations, Boy Scouts, Boys Brigade, or anything like that?
There was a, in Edinburgh, the School Boys Club, which linked up people from various schools and went camping and so on. It had, I suppose, a slightly religious bias, but not.
What was it called?
The School Boys Club.
That was its actual name?
Yes, it has actually become, since it, well, it became the Scottish School Boys Club, and then what's it now ceased to be School Boys, it's now mixed. But otherwise, well, I cycled with used to be the youth hosteling quite a lot. And had a pretty full time.
Now, when you went to university, could you tell us a bit about what life was like as a young undergraduate in 1938? October 38, you went, I think.
Yes. Well, it really was rather fascinating. I was doing Latin, Greek in the first year, then Latin, Greek, and ancient history. And living at home, of course, which slightly is rather different from all of the lessons and so on. But it was very enjoyable. One was very busy, but doing what one really wanted to do. And then I. Well, certainly the first year before the war began was a very agreeable time indeed.
And what about the international situation? You were a bright young lad. Were you aware of what was going on in Germany, of things like the rise of Nazism, the move towards war. Did you follow that at all?
Yes, yes. I think one that was inevitable, really. And I remember feeling that Munich was rather a bad city. That Munich was probably something that was very liable to break out later on. And I remember feeling that Anthony Eden at the time was rather more of a sort of politician, seemed to attract us, I think. He changed a bit later on, but at that time he was rather.
Did you have any political affiliations at the time, conservative or otherwise?
Not really, no. I think at that time I might have called myself a liberal, but I was not very active in any organisations.
What do you remember about the day war broke out, 3rd of September?
Yes, it was a Sunday, and I remember my mother and sister had gone to church. My father and I were listening to wireless to hear the Chamberlain's speech. And then, just as almost 5 minutes after it ended, the sirens sounded, and the bell for the church had stopped, and everybody rather expected that we'd be bombed there and then, or at least it was treated as if that was going to happen. Of course it didn't, but there was that peculiar feeling of that things had completely changed within an hour almost.
How did life change for you in the next year? You couldn't join the OTC, I believe, in the first year, but you tried to. I mean,
yes.
What sort of changes did you have?
Well, to begin with, it was very much a matter of changing philosophy to lectures that were given at different times because of the place couldn't be blacked out. We were in the old quadrangle at Edinburgh. And to begin with, it was very much more of a matter of change of routine, but not when the summer came. I went back to a lumber camp. It was my old school down in Selkirk, and helped to run that.
What was that about? Tell me about that, the lumber camp.
Yeah, that was a collection of schoolboys making cordage rooms and so on for Canadian lumberjacks cutting down trees in the forests and Selkirk and the borders. And it was really rather a pleasant time. And I had about a month or so there. And
that was in 1940?
1940,
yeah.
Yes.
And so that you had the change in time of lectures. Tell me about, you did try and join the OTC. What made you want to do it? I mean,
well, my friends were doing it, really, yes. And well, I felt that if one could do it, it would be a desirable thing to do.
So now, why couldn't you join at first?
Well, I had, in fact, got my name down, on a list at the actually before the war began. And I'm afraid I rather sat back and expected them to get in touch with me. And by the time I discovered that they weren't going to do that, the numbers were made up. And so I waited until the next year. And I suppose if I had pushed a little bit, I might have managed to get in then, but I certainly joined in 1940, back from the lumber camp. And then from...
And what kind of training did you get with the OTC? Can you describe it?
Well, it was very much, I suppose, basic infantry, a fair amount of drilling and so on.
How did you take to drill, and how far did they go down, you know, training you to drill?
Well, it was all very basic, but I found I quite enjoyed it, actually. We hadn't got an army tradition. My father had been fairly old and had been as a reserved occupation in the First World War, so we didn't have immediate links with the army. But nevertheless, I found that it was quite pleasant and agreeable, and that I could do it fairly reasonably.
Did you understand the purpose of drill at that age? You perhaps do now, but did you understand it then as a young lad?
Yes, I think so. We actually spent usually 23 afternoons and quite a bit of Saturday and 2 plus 2 evenings a week for an hour or so. So eventually one was spending about 10 hours or so a week in ODC.
And was a lot of that on basic foot drill?
Quite a bit of it. And then map reading and all sorts of things like that. I can't really quite remember. We do have a table study with that.
What about weapons training? Did you get far into that?
Yes. I don't remember. I don't think we actually had them. But we had a bunch of that also. Brain guns, 2-inch mortars, and things like that.
So it was more, it was theoretical, so you'd practice stripping them down and learning how to shoot them, but not shooting them.
Not shooting them. I don't think so. I may be wrong there, but I don't think that's the case.
What about tactical training? Because it was an officer's training, you know, thing, getting people ready to be officers.
Yes.
What level of tactical exercises or training or tutoring?
Yes, we did have occasional tactical exercises with our troops and so on. And
what were they like?
Well, we did go out on the pentons and so on and to get an idea of seeing land and ground as well as from the military point of view. And it led up to CERTI, which was a fairly basic qualification. And then
now, what was the difference? Can you look at the difference in the exam? Because CERTI, what did that look at, and what did CERT B look at?
Looking back now, I am a little bit vague on that, I'm afraid. One was rather pleased to pass them. I suppose in CERT B, I think one was perhaps looking at more from the point of view of a junior subaltern. But again, it was very much theoretical and rather
so you
had a very strenuous time there. I was playing hockey for the school FBs and so on, and helping to run a boys' club, and again with the school for the pupils.
Your old school.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, what about uniform? Did you have a uniform with the OTC? Or
yes, we had battle dress by then.
And were you linked with any particular regiment to provide instructors and things, or were they just old soldiers on the staff?
Mainly old soldiers, yes. I think probably more Royal Scots than any other, because the Royal Scots people were local regiment.
What were the instructors like? I mean, were they good at their job? And
I think they were not bad. Really, now I find it a bit difficult to pass judgment on it, but I don't remember objecting strongly to any of them or feeling which is the more important. And an awful lot was done by students who had already done the same course, and very much they would be given a stripe and some instructional jobs, really.
So, then, going back into your life at university, you didn't finish your course, did you? Could you explain what was happening as you went through the years of your course with
yes.
the question of enlisting or being conscripted or whatever?
Yes. Well, in the first 2 years, quite a few, particularly at the end of my second year in 1940, quite a few of my friends had already departed, and the third year, again, people were being called up, and one, I realized if one was, if we were told that if we volunteered, we would probably go straight to officer training unit. At the time, in the end of the session in 1941, the call up was, I think it became about 19. People got called up at 20 or to begin with, then at 19, come down to 18. And they were always told that you could get a delay for 9 months, but that was all that could be guaranteed for academic reasons. I found that I would be very likely to need 11 months to complete my course. And as I say, so many of my friends have gone, so they did that here, and in June.
That's the 13th of June, I think.
Friday the 13th, yes.
Now, how did you enlist? Where did you go to, and what was the procedure?
There was a fair in near what was then cinema, very near the West End, and one went had a medical and eventually was. For a colonel had to swear to serve the king, his heirs and successors and so on. And then one was given, I think, 5 shillings, I think, a half crown pay and half a crown ration allowance. And I then discovered that I was in the Royal Fusiliers. But this was purely theoretical. I had a Royal Fusilier, but all of us who were enlisting as officer cadets were enlisted into the Royal Fusiliers, the City of London Regiment.
Now, what happened next then?
Well, I ended back waiting summons to the officer cadet training unit. But somebody had made some clerical error, and I was asked to sign a form once again, which I had already signed, saying that I would tell the truth about all my medical condition and so on when I was appeared for to be recruited. And this meant that. In fact, I had two of these letters, and it meant that I was held back when all my friends were summoned to 165 Officer Cadet Training Unit in Bar. I eventually was summoned to one at Barmouth in North Wales. When I reported this to the University Training Corps adjutant, he said, oh, don't go there, go to the bar, which I thought was, on the whole, a rather risky thing to do. But he was almost is closing down. And so joined my friends at the bar, but now, of course, the platoon of consisted of Welshman and Englishman and myself.
How did you get on with the Welshman and the Englishman in the platoon?
Very well, actually. They found that it was extremely useful that I was Scotsman. At that time, when they were fully Tony Candy or something like that, we had to go through exchanges. And dealing with the Scottish exchange, I could cope with them and then hand over to the Welsh exchange. So I had a steady job. Also, the advantage that weekend leaves were not so attractive to them as they were to me. So I got rather more weekend leaves at home than I would have had. So I was quite happy with them. I got on very well with them and thoroughly enjoyed it, really.
Now, what was the setup at Dundee? Where was 165 Octu based in Dundee?
Dunbar. We were billeted in hotels, most of which seem to have been burnt down since, probably by people feeling the cold. It was a hotel from October on, chillier and chillier, and it was a remarkably cold place with cold winds covering, and of course, no heating, if I remember rightly. The main company was in the Royal Hotel, but our platoon, being a late addition, was billeted in the Albert Higgins Hotel, a small platoon, I think, yes. We didn't even have a normal number then, having been originally meant to go somewhere else. And this is the disadvantage that we would very often appear in ordinary battle dress and find that we should have been in denim. This meant that we had to double back to the Albert Temple's Hotel to change into denims and then find probably that the office had changed by the time. So the platoon had a sort of motto of denims on, denims off, and that on the whole summed up the people army quite better.
Now, what exactly were you being trained in as a young cadet?
Well, again,
did it differ much from what you'd had earlier as an officer's cadet,
yes,
you know, in the OTC?
Yeah, I think probably did. We still did a fair amount of basic drill and so on, but we spent a lot of time out in the country doing exercises.
What sort of thing?
Basic infantry exercises, in which usually one of us in rotation would be fighting as the commander and the other as the sergeant. And this was very much a means of the directing staff seeing how, testing one out in situations that might arise in warfare. That was interesting. And on the whole, it was a very strenuous time. We were pretty active all the time. And but quite enjoyable. We were, of course, we had an operational role, and I suppose we were even going on a weekend or a night's leave. One had to go armed with a short SMLE rifle and 50 rounds of ammunition, full equipment, and so on, in that, and gas mask, of course. So I suppose
What were the tactical principles they were trying to get through to you as a prospective subaltern?
Well, I suppose use of ground and so on. The to some extent, the handbooks were pretty much first form. At the same time, I think we had learned that advancing in mass was not a good idea. And so I suppose section training was probably the one of the things that they concentrated on.
Did they introduce you to battle drill as it was at that point, or was that later?
That really came later. When I passed out in March 42, battle drill was something which was really just coming in, I think.
So you'd have this tactical training, you'd have basic training, which is sort of training as an infantryman, which we've slightly covered already. What about training in how to handle men, man management, how to behave as an officer, that sort of thing? Were you trained in that? Or?
Well, we had, in fact, a heavy young subaltern, a platoon commander, who was our regular. Well, I don't know whether he was a regular or what, but one learned a great deal from him, I think. He would give pretty useful instruction on what should be done. And I suppose, to some extent, imitated their example.
And what sort of example did they set? How should you behave as an officer when dealing with your men? I mean,
I doubt if I could be specific on that, really.
So that's fair enough. Anything else about your time there with 165 Octu? You were there till March, October to March?
Yes.
41 October to March 42.
We finished, of course, we had our guards and so on, and we had very much, technically I suppose, part of the Home Guard as well, really. And so we would have had, in the event of an invasion, we would have been involved in defence of the country around there. And, yes.
Did you have defensive positions or patrol points along the coast, or was it more just a reserve role?
Pretty much a reserve role, yes, and I think we were mainly in the town, really. But I remember doing guards at night, and it was rather pleasant, really, at times, on a cold night with a bright moon. And in fact, one or two partial lunar eclipses, I think, and it was very much a test, I think, but when you could survive it, you felt rather pleased about it.